Back again on the February 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beetle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. And the Mike Moore Show is brought to you by the Montgomery Agency of Huron. So if you have real estate needs, we encourage you go talk to them. Mike is, as we heard earlier, very, very familiar with the friendly folks down there at the Montgomery Agency.
I've been
agency,
in and out. So. Yeah, they took good care of me. So, you know, down there at the Montgomery. You know, they should do a thing, you know, that like those other shows that they can go to their website and enter the name Mike and Zach and they could get like a discount or something. Maybe we should talk. We'll talk to Jim Tharp about that.
Well,
see if he... we don't want to push our luck.
Right.
I know, because this is our first sponsor, but come on.
We don't want to chase him away.
Let's milk it for what it's worth. Maybe, they'll do a website, put in Mike and Zach and you get like...
baby steps.
Maybe you go to the open house and you get like... special cookies if you entered our names. If they mention our name at the open house at the Montgomery thing, they'll get something special. I'll call Jim. I'll make it happen.
You better, because you just told everyone listening that it's gonna happen. So something tells me that you're gonna be on the lam for a box of cookies here down the road.
Sundays open houses. You go to the Montgomery open house. They'll have a special gift for you if you mention the Mike Moore Show.
You can send the check to Mike Moore, Beetle County State's Attorney's Office, for those checks.
Yeah, Jim, do you hear me? Jim Tharp, are you out there? Remember that. Tomorrow at your open houses, have something.
And the long and the short of all this is we thank the Montgomery Agency for sponsoring the Mike Moore Show here on
KOKK.
Mike, let's get into talking about before we get into talking about domestic violence, you mentioned something in the break. We've had guests on the program before, and we're going to work on getting another guest who actually requested to come on the show.
This is exciting. We got a sponsor, and now we have a guest that requests
people
to come on the show.
Come on the program.
They're just dying to come on the program, you know. And yeah, this is a good one. We know we've talked Senate Bill 70 many times on this show in the past. And you, if you've listened to the show, you've heard me say, you know, Beetle County's got nothing since Senate Bill 70 passed 3 years ago. We're doing the same thing. Well, Judge Means, who's the magistrate judge in our circuit, the Third Circuit, has requested to come on the show, and she's going to talk about the Beetle County Drug Court, which is going to be coming online sometime in the summer of this year. So we're going to have her on the show, and you and I will get to ask her questions about the drug court, what it is, what it's about, what's going to happen, how do you get into the drug court, what are the programming that goes along with it, and she'll be able to explain all that to us.
Well, I think I know how people get into the drug court. They use drugs, but no, I understand what you're saying.
But right, yeah, you distinguish, like, is it, it's not going to be for first-time marijuana users, because there's other programs out there for them, so it's going to be a person that has... Using serious drugs, maybe a repeat offender, and they're going to go into this special program, an intensive program, to make sure that they're doing what we want them to do, make sure they're getting off the drugs, and we're going to be watching them. And I'm sure that Judge Means will be able to tell us a lot more about that and how it's worked in other counties. But I'm excited that we're going to do that in Beetle County, and hopefully it goes well.
Now, at last check, your deputy was kind of working on this as well, wasn't he? And is that in conjunction with what Magistrate Means is doing? Or
yeah, Dan, our deputy Dan is the person in our office that's assigned to this when he's not riding a unicycle. And maybe we'll talk about that later.
Oh,
but
we're talking about the unicycle later.
Yeah, when he's not busy doing his unicycle act, he is in. He's the guy that's going to be in charge of the drug court from my office to kind of run that from our end.
And just for refresher sake, it is separate from your diversion program that you currently have, correct?
Right. The diversion program that we currently offer is for like a first-time arrest for a low-level misdemeanor charge. And it not only drug charges, but any misdemeanor charge, with the exception of DWI and domestic violence charges, would be eligible to go into that program. They don't have any history. And it's to go through that. Now, the drug court, my understanding of that is for more felony level charges and a person that's been in trouble before. So we're going to give them this special intense program, and hopefully they do well. And that's the purpose of the program, is to keep them out of the penitentiary, but get them off drugs and keep them law abiding. That's what we're hoping for with the drug court.
All right. Okay, let's talk about domestic violence again here. And again, we touched on the training that Huron police officers went through here yesterday and Thursday. Mike, you were called by South Dakota Public Broadcasting to be a guest on their program, South Dakota Focus, and that was what they were debating as this topic, like you mentioned, it's kind of the red light issue here lately. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, you know, it was really nice that they called and asked me to do that. I do serve as a resource prosecutor for the state in the area of domestic violence, sexual assault. That means other prosecutors around the state can call, ask me questions, and I try to help them get an expert or talk them through a case, or, you know, if it's a advocate or a victim, I try to answer their questions and tell them here's how the process works and what should be happening. And I try to kind of the go-between. So they had me on the program in that capacity. And, you know, the best part about that is that the dialogue is going on now. Ever since the Ray Rice incident, you know, whatever you think of the NFL or that incident, it's gotten people to talk about it. And that can only help what we're trying to do. The more that people understand, the more that people know about domestic violence, the more they are educated about domestic violence, in my opinion, the less it's going to happen. And any show like that that's talking about it, I think, is great. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out there. Let's answer the questions. And I thought that the format of that show, it was a live show in Vermilion. I thought the person in charge of the show, I don't know what
Stephanie Ressler?
Well, I know her name, but what do you call them? The MC host? Or the host?
Be the host.
Are you like the host of this show? Or?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so like you, she's like the Zach Nelson of the South Dakota Focus. Right? I don't know.
But she did. She's a little higher on the podium than me, but okay. We'll leave it at
that. Well, she did a really nice job of asking us questions and addressing the issues. And we got a lot of live feedback during the show about people called in or emailed in questions, and we tried to address them.
I think she also does actual research for her program, which you and I go out for lunch, and that's the extent of the research.
That's not research?
Well, in some places it is. was it intimidating at all? Because I did watch it after the fact, after it had aired. I watched the whole thing. You were the only male panelist on the program. Was it intimidating at all? Not to say that, because obviously domestic violence does happen to men, but I think on a whole it's primarily thought of as male attacks on females. So here you are, the only man in the room. I mean, was that intimidating at all?
Well, there was two camera people and one of them was a male, so I kind of
on camera is what I'm referring to, Mike.
No, I understand what you're talking about, but I didn't feel intimidated. You know, when I've been involved in domestic violence for all my years in prosecution, and it is a woman or a female dominated topic. So a lot of times when I speak or I'm involved, I think they appreciate the fact that they have a male that's willing to stand up and talk for it, because it generally is all female. So I don't feel intimidated. I feel like I have something to offer, and I appreciate the fact that they invite me and let me say my piece.
To spin off that point a little bit, do you think it would do additional good, more good perhaps, if there were more positive male figureheads such as yourself? Not that the females who are advocating to end domestic violence and support domestic violence aren't doing a good job, because they certainly are, but to have more males in that position that you may, and I mean, obviously I'm sure there are countless prosecutors, male prosecutors, that are in a similar position to you, but would more of a positive male influence, do you think, have any kind of an impact in lowering and or ending, and I use ending in quotation marks because obviously it's going to be very difficult to completely scrub this from society, but if you had more males in a position of influence to maybe curb the tides a little bit?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that they've been doing a pretty good job, but I think, you know, there's opportunities for men to stand up and call other men out on the on it. You know, a perfect example of that, you know, we keep going back to the NFL thing, but wouldn't it have been great if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, and not because they were paid to or anything, but came out and just, you know, said, hey, this isn't right. We can't allow this to happen. And if they, and not only that, but if they see it in the locker room and they're talking about it, or you see it out at a restaurant and it's happening, that someone would stand up and say something. Because then it's gonna get better if someone has enough guts to stand up for what's right and say, hey, this isn't right. You can't treat people this way. You can't be doing that. And it would have been very nice, and I think it would have resonated with a lot more people than if Mike Moore stands up and says, Ray Rice, that was a bad thing. But if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or any of those people in the NFL would stand up and have said that right from the beginning, boy, what a great message that would have been. And I think you're right. They are in a position where people respect them and look up to them. And if they came out and were strong voices, it would be great for the issue. You know, if they educated themselves about it and got behind it, it would be great for the issue, you know. And I hope that we will see that coming in the near future now that the message is getting out there.
While we're on this caveat of professional sports and domestic violence, As the NASCAR season has started here, just days before the premier event, the Daytona 500, driver Kurt Busch was suspended indefinitely by NASCAR for what a family court in Delaware said was, after, again, looking at all of the evidence presented during a hearing, that it was very likely that Kurt Busch had committed an act of domestic violence. NASCAR taking the move to removing and suspending Kurt Busch from being able to drive in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. And Mike, I guess just your thoughts. Do you believe NASCAR is being reactionary due to what has previously happened, or do you think that, you know, when this first started, they were coming up with a plan, and this is just them putting their plan into action?
Well, you know, I've had no discussion at all with NASCAR, but I think what you're seeing now is a product of what's happened in the last year. I mean, NASCAR saw what happened with the NFL, and they're not going to make the same mistake, and that's smart of them to step up and do the right thing right away when it happens, and not make the mistakes that the NFL made, admittedly made. And you know, NASCAR, I don't know all the ins and outs of what they did or what the rules were before or after, but they need to take a stand, and they did. Now, it's the same thing, though, with them. I would have liked to hear some of the other drivers come out and condemn what he did, and you don't hear that enough. I mean, I don't know why that is, but, I mean, it wouldn't have been nice for some of the other drivers to come out and say, you know, we can't tolerate that in our sport. And it's unacceptable, and that I think that would have went a long way in also sending the right message. And I think NASCAR did the right thing, so hopefully we're heading in the right direction.
And we need to take a break here in a minute, but is a suspension like that without, because a lot of people are saying, well, he hasn't even been charged yet, you know. Where does that sit? He's accused of doing this. He hasn't been found guilty in a court of law yet. NASCAR taking this step based on the allegations that it happened. There's no doubt, based on the information I've seen, that something transpired in the motor coach at the Dover International Speedway. Something happened. His story is a little different than her story, is basically what it amounts to. The court found that, based on the evidence they had, that he committed an act of domestic violence, but again, he still has not been formally charged in Delaware with a crime, but he's been suspended.
Right, and that's interesting, because that's the same conversation I had with Roger Goodell when we were in New York, and I met with him personally, is when do you, as a sports league or as this hiring entity, take action? And do you wait on the criminal justice system? You know, everybody says, well, you're presumed innocent, which is true, but that, you know, that only applies in court, you know. But and there's nothing wrong with the NFL or NASCAR, the NBA, or any employer out there to hold their employees to a little higher standard. and they can look at the facts, what the facts are. They can educate themselves on domestic violence. And if their employee violated what their rules are, they should take the action they feel necessary when they feel it's necessary. They don't need to wait for court, because there's so, if you understand domestic violence and you know the dynamics, you need to look at the facts and make your decision based on what the facts are and not what necessarily happens in court. I mean, Ray Rice got a diversion program. So what's that mean? You know, some the guy in the 49ers guy didn't get charged. What's that mean? So that mean he gets to go free? So if you beat the charge, you get to go free? If you plead to a felony, do you get a harsher sentence than a misdemeanor? Shouldn't it be based on your conduct, not the deal you're able to make with the prosecutor, or if you're able to get off on a technicality, you get evidence suppressed? I mean, those places need to look at it. They're not presumed innocent in the workplace. I mean, you don't have any right to that in the workplace. That applies to court. That applies to a criminal proceeding. That's a burden I have to overcome as a prosecutor. An employer doesn't need to do that. An employer can look at the conduct of their employees and make a decision. And if that's their policy, their employees need to live up to it. And they made their decision based on what they understood as the facts, and that's what they need to do. They need to get the facts right away, make a decision, and not worry about what the court system does, because waiting on the court system to do it, you're waiting on something that you have no control over, and there might be a decision made that isn't necessarily based on the facts, but based on what evidence is admissible, where that might not be the case in the employer, you know, in the employer realm. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that they act immediately, swiftly, and take that stand that we're not going to tolerate that type of conduct.
You are listening to the February 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
We are brought to you by the Montgomery Agency of Huron. We're going to take a break and return with more after this.